Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is the Sound of Options Happy Hour show with Richard Talk to Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Richard. Hope all is well with you.
It's good. It's good. It's questionable. You know, I just because you say that, I'm thinking a lot about this fire that's happening about 3 and some odd hours south of me in an area I grew up in. So that's perplexing, but I'm thrilled to not be there and sad by knowing the areas that are burning. But nature is, you know, nature's rough. Nature's going to be fine.
We have a problem. People are saying there's very, very loud static. Only static, no voices. Okay, I'm going to unplug the mic here. That was the last time there was a problem, so you won't be able to hear me. So can I talk for a moment?
Sure.
Okay, go.
I'll remind people that if you're, depending upon whether you're at Blog Talk Radio or you're at WebEx, that you can go to, now I'm hearing a lot of static on my side, whereas I wasn't hearing static before at Blog Talk Radio, Sherry, now I am. And I don't hear your voice at all in either feed. I'm actually going to mute you for a moment, Sherry, because the static is really bad. You might try unplugging and plugging again. So as I was saying, I've muted Sherry for a moment while she plugs and unplugs, that depending upon where you are arriving, whether you're at WebEx or Blog Talk Radio, you can find everything by going to Sound Health Options, clicking on the Radio tab on that top bar, and then for today's show, clicking on the Happy Hour. And then from there, on the page today, I believe on the left-hand side, you'll see a link either to go to the Blog Talk Radio or call in at Blog Talk Radio at 347-850-1407. Or you can click on the link to join the WebEx with the active chat over there and listen there. I'm unmuting Sherry's microphone now to see how she sounds. I don't hear any static. That's a good sign. Now you're back.
That was really, really weird. Blog Talk Radio started again. I tried to mute everything here, but that was just absolutely incredible. I'm going to see if I can.
That's pretty gnarly.
Okay, but there's no static, but people are saying it's no audio at all. Very low volume. Let me turn some things up.
I see lots of people logging in over at Blog Talk Radio, so that's always a clue.
I don't know what all is happening here. What have you announced so far?
I was just talking about that how they can get to either location by going to Sound Health Options and doing all that.
Okay. I'm just totally discombobulated here. We're going to talk tonight on the show about inflammation, but inflammation in society and inflammation in our own bodies. And someone has just posted a new number, 347-850-1407, for those of you who don't have any audio here. It looks very low. Speakers look low. I don't know what is happening to the audio here, but I think we're just going to have to depend on Blog Talk Radio for our audio today. I will go ahead and try to record this, but I don't know how that's going to come out.
The audio quality over at Blog Talk is good, so for anybody listening, it's scratchy. sickness, you can go to the 347-850-1407 and call in. And that audio there is very good from what I am hearing.
Okay. We are sponsored by the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology and Sound Health. And one of the things that we try to do, stick a microphone in someone's face and take a vocal print and show that there really is information in the frequencies of people's voices. And so we had a special request today, and I can't remember. I think it was, I'm not going to say it. Can't remember who it was. But we are going to talk about the inflammation of society along with an inflammation of the body if we can have a volunteer. And I see some new people on the site, so if one of the new people has inflammation and they'd like to volunteer, that would be great. If not, we'll pick on Richard and make him do the demo. And I will try to give more of a description since we don't have good visuals on that. Richard, I think we did all the announcements we had to do. Do you have an announcement that you want to do?
I do. If you put that GMO link up in WebEx for people that might be able to see that there, that this is from a article in the Independent Science News, and this is actually from a student. The title of the article, and I'll put this in both chats after I talk about this. This is from a student who's at Cornell University, and the title of the article is "The GMO Debate: One Student's Experience of Pro-GMO Propaganda at Cornell University." And this was published August 1st, so it's pretty darn current. And he introduces himself. He's an undergraduate at Cornell University, and he's not sure if he wants to be there anymore, and then he goes on to explain. It's quite a good article, but really the paragraph for me is that he's writing is, "Cornell, as an institution, appears to be complicit in a shocking amount of ecological, destructive, academically unethical, and scientifically deceitful behavior. Perhaps the most potent example is Cornell's deep ties to industrial GMO agriculture and the affiliated corporations such as Monsanto." And then he goes on to say, "I'd like to share how I became aware of this troubling state of affairs." And it's an article where he's just really penciling out, you know, how he discovered these things in the epidemiological research department, in the ag department, in the agroecology department, and how in his process of studying, you know, Cornell's GMO propaganda campaign, it's not good. And I believe that Sherry and I were talking about this backstage, that I think this is an issue that people forget. You know, when we get to the academic world of universities and we think, oh, ivory-covered walls and it's all, you know, hollowed halls and all that, the trick is universities get a lot of private funding. That's why their buildings named after people. I'm certain there's a name, you know, Bill Gates has a name on a building somewhere in a university. And that funding is coming from private corporations who have an agenda. And when they give you $1 million to study something, they're really kind of looking for a result that's leaning toward their interests. Otherwise, that funding could go away. It's just like in the movies where people come in and say, well, you know, this we don't like this, and we could take away that $1 million. So it's a very tricky thing. I think this is by a student. Now, who knows? Maybe in 2 years somebody will come out and go, oh, he's really, you know, for the organic farmers of America. You know, I have no idea. But it's an amazingly detailed article talking about GMOs and Cornell and their affiliation. So that is my announcement. Speaking, and that makes me inflamed, to go with your theme. I am inflamed when I hear this.
Yes, I was just going to say this goes right along with our theme, because we're going to have Stephanie Seneff do a little presentation about inflammation and GMOs. And it was in the news today. Malta, it says the smallest country, has outlawed GMOs. So this guy has a lot of backing. A lot of countries have outlawed GMOs, and we're doing studies here at the center about lectins and how the covering of wheat or oats or barley or whatever they're working with, the lectins the outside covering is being sprayed with these Roundup, and it's making it tougher for the body to digest any of these seeds, and it's also causing a permeable bowel, and that's what Stephanie Seneff is going to talk about with inflammation. So that fits right along. Now, I'm going to talk about two things that make no sense about inflammation, but I'm going to tie them in here. So one of my announcements, and this is about an Ohio lady, Victoria Kaufman, looks like Woodall. She ran on the ticket, of like women's suffrage ticket or something, in 1872. So Hillary is not the first woman to run for president, and they're trying to say that. Now, this lady is from Ohio, and somebody brought that to my attention and said that you really need to bring this up because Hillary's running on first woman and just not so. And I think it was like women's rights, or it doesn't say here, and I'm looking on Wikipedia. She lived in Homer, Ohio, but it does not say what party. But maybe somebody can look that up on the internet while we're talking here and go on from there. Now, here was another surprise, and this was from an audience listener, and she said, we need to look at Jill Stein because everyone is inflamed about not voting for Hillary and not voting for Trump. And I think this Muslim parents who lost their son, Khan family, and the response by Trump, I think that was my last straw. He needs to just back up and ask for forgiveness from this family. Trump has children. He has to know how that would hurt. But here is Jill Stein. She's running for president. She's a female, and she first ran for president on the Green Party in 2012, and right now she's carrying 7% of the electorate, and it looks like a lot of the Bernie people are going to be coming over to her side because she and Bernie's platform look very much alike. So we've done some vocal prints on her, but I thought since some of you don't know her, we might play a little bit of her voice and then show you. With Sanders and Jill Stein, they both want stricter gun control. They want to prioritize climate change, increase taxes on the wealthy, break up big banks. Now, they keep military drones, Sanders wants to, Stein doesn't. Free college for everyone. Sanders and Stein both want that. If you're looking at the WebEx. So we're going to hear a little bit from Jill Stein. I'm not going to play a lot of it. One of the things they're pushing for is to get Stein and Gary Johnson on the debates. And I think that would be a good idea. Maybe even Bernie could go over to Jill Stein's side. I feel like he's so disappointed his people. So here's a little bit about Jill.
Neither candidate breaks 50%. Shoot, in Ohio, neither candidate breaks 40%. And the reason? Look at the third row. Close to 20% of respondents in each state say they're undecided or won't vote for either candidate. And in a new poll, Trump and Clinton are tied at 40%, 19%. Saying they don't know or won't vote at all. Folks, the undecideds will decide this election. Cliche, we know. But who are the undecideds? Well, a friend of the show, Chris Kafinas, and his Democratic firm, Park Street Strategies, held a focus group with undecided voters last night in Cleveland. They found, at least among this group, it's an uphill battle for both Trump and Clinton. Take a look.
Why are you still undecided? All right, what's missing?
The country needs to be unified, and neither party wants to do that. The only way we're going to be successful is to come together and work together.
I feel like, well, at least with Trump, for the most part, is just more or less dividing people more than pulling people together, which is what this country needs most, especially at this time.
I'm just undecided because, honestly, I feel embarrassed on both of them candidates.
So by show of hands, how many feel embarrassed for the country by the propagandists we have right now?
I would just like to see both of them in a room locked up together and see if they really can solve a puzzle together, let alone the problems of the United States.
Do you all wish that the field had two different candidates other than Hillary and Trump? How many say yes? Raise your hands.
Yes.
Okay.
There you have it. It was unanimous. When asked if they'd prefer two other candidates, all 29 people in the room raised their hands. So, of all years, why not this year as the third-party candidate? Well, here's what the focus group had to say about that.
How many are seriously thinking or open to voting either Green or Libertarian? Raise your hands.
People like Gary Johnson are a more serious candidate. I feel like he actually knows what he's talking about and is more prepared to handle the issues facing our country.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't like either one of them.
I'm joined now by one of those third-party options. Dr. Jill Stein is the, I guess we should call her the presumptive nominee of the Green Party. She was the nominee for the Green Party in 2012. Dr. Stein, thanks for coming on the show.
Great to be with you, Jeff.
So you heard that focus group of folks. Make your pitch to those 29 voters. Why should they still vote if they don't like their top two choices?
Why should they still vote? You know, because our democracy needs a moral compass. Our democracy needs our values and our voices. And people have rejected this rigged political system that's given us this rigged economy that's throwing people under the bus. I'm a physician, not a politician. I used to practice clinical medicine. Now I practice political medicine because it's the mother of all illnesses, and we have to fix our sick political system so we can solve all the other crises that are threatening life, limb, and our very survival. And I am the only candidate in this race that is not corrupted by the big money that's created this rigged system. I don't take money from lobbyists, I don't take money from big corporations, and I don't take money from super PACs. So I'm the one candidate that actually has the unique liberty to stand up for what it is that people desperately need and want. That is a jobs program that will solve the crisis of our economy,
yeah,
at the same time that it solves the crisis of climate change, and that will make wars for oil obsolete and create a foreign policy based on international law and human rights. I will cancel student debt like we did for the crooks on Wall Street. We need to do for our younger generation. This would be the stimulus package of our dreams, and we can create health care as a human right.
You know, it's interesting.
And we looked at her voice by request, just listening to her voice. Now, we did an overview first, and remember, this particular video, and I will put this up in the chat. What are you wowing about?
So much color, so much balance, so much, you know, that's my immediate view. When I look at that, it's like, wow, that's a lot of filled-in chart. I'm fascinated to see the numbers, as always.
Well, what we're looking at is a nano voice, and any of you can download this from our site, soundhealthoptions.com, and you can run these candidates for yourself. Now, the first thing to do is to take a WAV file of what she was saying, and that's using Audacity. Those instructions, and we're going to go over them later, those instructions are on our site under downloads, and there is a textbook there called Bioacoustic Basics. It's blue and yellow. It's on the bottom side, and it's on the left. Now, when you run a WAV file, you can see the person's perspective of where they are really coming from. And she's coming from a very balanced perspective, I think. She has very little red, and that's reactive. She has slightly more yellow. Whoever's got their mic open, please close it. Marion, I'm closing your mic. It's very distracting. Okay. Sorry, listeners. So we have all of this green columns here, which says she is action-oriented. And as a physician, I can see action-oriented. And she comes together with emotional words at the note of E. Third is intellect. Now, when you look at Hillary, intellect is first. And when you look at Donald Trump, you see reactions first. So in my mind, Jill Stein is more balanced to be president if anybody cares what my vote is. Now, the next thing we did, instead of doing a WAV file that gives you an overview, we looked at her voice just one-on-one and found this grid that she has a lot of pieces missing. G sharp is missing A, A sharp, and B. So G sharp is making everything physically okay for everybody concerned. She still has this very high emotional blue, which she's running in this campaign on an emotional basis. And we look at her grid, and it's male-oriented and childlike naivete. So she feels like she has the aggressiveness to do this, but she's not sure she's capable of doing it, and she's not leaning on any higher power, at least on this little bit that I looked at. She isn't leaning on a higher power for management. A and A sharp is missing in her chart, and that's always the strength of belief in spirituality. And she has very little frequency in the note of B, which is doing it for other people. Gaddafi had very high note of B when he was going down and said, "My people love me, I will die for them." And he did die for them. But he truly loved his people. That is missing from Jill Stein. I don't like to say that, but there it is. She likes information. She likes planning with information. She likes carrying out a plan. But in this case, she is not sure where that plan is going to go or how she's going to manage it. From her overview, she is ready to take this on. And the overview shows a lot of balance. But I did this from a WAV file. And when you look at a WAV, you're looking at like 32,000 samples a second. And when you're looking at just the nano, you're looking at 6 samples a second. So there is a lot of emotional push in here. And that would be her platform. What would be emotionally conducive? I wish she and Bernie would get together and run on the same ticket. I think they would stand a very good chance of winning. What do you think, Richard?
I think that Bernie is resolved in his brain. He is resolved that, okay, he's not going to be on the podium. He doesn't get to do it. And so he is currently saying, you know, really, I want my people to go vote for Hillary. And I think he's having the same kind of thinking I'm having, which is, no matter what we all think of Hillary, Trump is bad. You know, this last run where he has demonstrated with no words that I can use on air what a Dilbert he is regarding this, you know, attacking these parents whose Muslim son volunteered in our army to go and fight for the United States of America and sacrifice his life. There's no foundation there for Trump to attack them, in my view, and he's out.
If he apologized to him, would that make a difference?
I wouldn't believe him, because he's relentlessly continued to attack them. He hasn't stopped. He hasn't stepped back. He hasn't just shut up. He keeps going at them.
Well, on the other side,
have that.
There.
Yep.
On the other side, and this is the friction and the inflammation in our society. On the other side, there is Hillary, who allowed 4 people to die because of Benghazi, and then tried to tell the parents that it was a stupid film. So there's problems on both sides. Why don't we get behind a third-party candidate? Jill has 7%. I don't know how many percent Johnson has. We'll do Johnson's voice next week if someone would like to send me something they would like evaluated. You know, somebody asked me to do Jill's voice, and I asked them to send me an example of that. I just don't have time to dig all that up. So if you want me to do Gary Johnson, and then we can decide between the four of them, probably between the two of them, which one we want to root for. Do we just go with agenda and leave personality out of it? I think this is the most conflicted campaign I've ever seen. And there are strong decisions, strong emotions on all sides. But here is a little bit about Jill Stein's vocal print and what the computer said about her. You have high ideals and expect the same of others. Your stamina to get things accomplished is admirable. You think that feeding the mind is just as important as feeding the body. You are aware of how painful thoughtless words can be. And that's certainly on the other side of Trump here. Well, it's on the other side of Hillary, too. You know what you want things to look like, but sometimes don't have the energy to make it all so. As a natural leader, you sometimes get stuck with more than your share. You know how to get things done, but don't always have time to deal with the details. So this is just a printout from the computer. And again, it's Nano Voice, N-A-N-O. Any of you can download this. It's free. And use a recording of someone's voice and run them through the Nano Voice. And you can see their perspective. And Jill Stein's perspective is action and get it done with emotional words. So we have to watch that. I don't agree with everything she says. I don't agree with forgiving all student loans. They probably should forgive the interest, but they borrowed the money, and they should pay it back as far as I'm concerned. Other people won't agree with that, but maybe it's because I borrowed $17,000, and I paid back over $70,000 because the banks scammed me. How? Because they said the interest rate was one thing, and it was totally something else. And they, when I didn't go to summer school, I didn't go 12 months out of the year, then they were allowed to go back and increase the interest to the current rate. And at that point, it was like 24%. So in what they told me I owed and what I thought I owed was nearly double. And maybe I'm just stubborn here. I did take the money. I did use the money. I used it for tuition. And instead of forgiving loans, maybe they should just make all college free. That bankrupted California, but we don't know how it's going to work. Somebody has to be careful about that bottom line. Gary Johnson next week, and go from there. You have any other comments about this, Richard?
No. No, I don't.
I'm
already inflamed enough. If you took my vocal print now, I'm going to be inflamed. I tell you that. No.
Do you think inflamed emotions end up causing inflamed body?
I think it has a potential. You know, if I think about it from the way back when, you know, the Bruce Lipton theory about environmental factors affecting your nerve endings or your cell receptor sites, then I think chronically environmental factors, which could be listening to too much news, could cause some kind of inflammation. I'm making that up kind of, but on a certain level, you know, what Lipton is talking about, if the cell receptor sites have these antennas on them that are ready to receive information, if we chronically get re-exposed to environmental pollution, they react. If our bodies are in a state of, you know, fear, dread, anger, a cortisol push, adrenaline, because we're adrenalized from listening to Dilberts like Trump speak, in my opinion, then it could. I think it chronically, you know, it's in the gestalt of being on the planet, so I think it could lead to inflammation. That was a long-winded answer to yes. Bad.
We have a couple of, I think it's because we don't know, and we're going to hear from Stephanie Seneff in just a second to help clear it up. But we have a couple of comments from the chat. Jan says, I don't understand how you got from one chart to the other. They're so different. because one was from her speaking and the other was from a recording of a WAVE file from her speaking. So one had many more samples in it, and it was actually longer, a 30-second WAVE file as opposed to just listening to her voice. And Joan says, the father attacked Trump first. I don't think that's an excuse, but that's Joan's perspective. I don't think anybody should be attacking anybody, and I think it was a great move on Hillary's part to bring those people up if she wanted to divide the people. And, boy, I'm seeing that more and more. Divide the people. I'm going to end up voting for whoever's going to bring the people together, just like you saw on that video. Karen says, Hillary is more corrupt than most can imagine. Yes, I believe Hillary is corrupt. I've looked at her voice. We've talked about it many, many times, that she is a liar. We said about Benghazi a week after she did that Benghazi speech in the hangar with the dead bodies coming back. Said, that's all a lie, and that's going to be proven to be a lie. And absolutely, it was proven to be a lie. Dale says, due to the importance of the information regarding Khan, here is an alternative view that links Khan to the Clintons. Oh boy, go back into the chat and look at that one. Dale, William Mount reports Hillary has second seizure on camera. Robert says, Khan is the enemy. He is a hidden usurper. He is a Clinton Foundation and functioning as a ruse, and Trump knows it. Wow. Boy, the country divided. We're seeing it in the chat. Okay, Dan, I'm going to call on you to be the volunteer. If you can just hang on just a few more minutes. Let me see if I can find you in the chat. Okay, I see you, but Dan, you don't have a microphone. You're going to need a microphone, so see if you can get that done, or I will give you no, I can't have you call in because I'm on the radio on the phone. So, Dan, you'll need to get a microphone. So work on that while we're listening to Stephanie Seneff, who tells us why we have inflammation in the body and what inflammation does.
One of the things that you also talk about is our circulatory system. I think you have an interesting hypothesis on that and how it relates to today's health conditions. Can you talk about that?
Oh, yes. I definitely think that the blood circulation is the key, the cornerstone of our health. Having good blood circulation is so important. And maintaining it depends upon sulfate. Sulfate is something that I've looked into early and long. I figured out the sulfate connection very early with autism. Autistic brain actually is associated with low sulfate in the cerebral spinal fluid. That's been shown postmortem. And animals that have impaired ability to sulfate these sugar molecules in the brain, rat model, these rats have all features of autism. So this sort of sulfate is... autistic kids also waste sulfate. They waste it through the kidney, and they have low sulfate in the blood. So all of this is an indicator of some kind of issue with sulfate. And I worked out a theory that cholesterol sulfate is synthesized in the skin in response to sunlight, this is a really, really important thing that happens, is that the way that the animals have been able to capture sunlight and make use of it, hold on to that energy in the sunlight and make use of it through making sulfate anion, sticking it onto cholesterol and shipping it out. And this ends up being a major source of the supply of both cholesterol and sulfate to all the tissues, but especially to the blood. And the blood really, really depends on cholesterol sulfate to be healthy, particularly the red blood cells. So the red blood cells produce lots of cholesterol sulfate, and I think they do it in response to sunlight, or they will do it better if they get sunlight. They need that light energy. And then they use the sulfate. Those anions sticking around the red blood cell gives it a negative charge. And so when these two red blood cells are negatively charged, they repel each other, just like magnets. They're like magnets. They won't stick together. If they don't have enough sulfate, they'll stick together. You'll get blood clots, and you'll have all these problems with thrombosis. So this is also then a source of, ends up with things like heart attacks because you've got some kind of blockage from a a blood clot. Of course, the platelets are the same thing. Platelets, of course, are going to also glom together. They also make cholesterol sulfate. And they're sort of the first line of defense with when there's a crisis, you know. So both the red blood cells and the platelets need that negative charge that they're going to get from the sulfates that they can't make if they don't get enough sunlight. And the nasty thing is that the enzyme that makes the sulfate is a cytochrome P450 enzyme. And glyphosate has been shown to disrupt cytochrome P450 enzymes. So you can expect that glyphosate in the blood is going to mess up the red blood cells' ability to make the cholesterol sulfate, is going to make them not sufficiently negatively charged, and then cause all the rest of the problems. And I think they also depend on their negative charge to move, because interestingly enough, the blood has a pH gradient on the artery side versus the vein side. The pH is different, such that there's going to be a charge, positive charge. So the negatively charged cell is, again, like a battery. It's attracted to the positive charge of the vein, which will help to propel it through the capillary. So this makes it easier for the red blood cells to get through the capillaries if they have enough negative charge and if there's enough of a charge gradient between the arteries and the vein. So the blood is always trying to maintain all these charge issues, which is hard to do if you don't have enough sulfate. So I think there's a sulfate crisis going on that's triggering all these diseases. And the diseases can be explained very simply. And this is things like arthritis or Alzheimer's or various gut disorders, you know. All of them can be explained by basically there's an inflammation going on in that tissue. Say if you have an inflamed knee, you've got arthritis in the knee, the inflammation is causing it to attack the extracellular matrix where there's lots of sulfate. And it actually breaks off those sulfated molecules around the knee joint in order to get them into the blood to save the blood. But meanwhile, the knee's getting destroyed. So you're basically sacrificing some organ for the sake of the blood. And it's essential to do that, because if the blood doesn't flow, you're dead. So somebody's got to bail out the blood. And then depending on your genetics, it's going to decide whether it's your brain or whether it's your knee or whether it's your stomach, you know, your gut. So I think that's a very simple explanation. Everyone is really appreciating, the researchers are appreciating, inflammation is the cause of all disease. I mean, that's sort of a mantra these days. But no one says, well, what's the cause of inflammation, you know? The thing is, you need the inflammation in order to get the superoxide to make the sulfate. So there's both the problem of being able to make the sulfate and then to be able to distribute it. And, in fact, cancer is like that, too. If you look at breast cancer, and I have an article that I wrote in the Western Price, their journal, called Cancer to the Rescue. And very, very interesting. When you look at breast cancer and what it's doing and how it's working, and it turns out, of course, it's inflamed, you know, and it's got, it's using that superoxide to make sulfate, and it's sticking the sulfate onto an estrone. So it's basically using estrogen to make estrone sulfate, which is very, very similar to cholesterol sulfate. And it makes lots of this stuff, and it ships it out, which is helping to solve the cholesterol sulfate deficiency problem. It's also making all this extracellular matrix, which contains these separate sulfated sugar molecules. So the tumor is making all this extra matrix, you know, making it all the time, keeps making it, and then it's got all these things that are attacking it and taking it away. So it's like a factory, it keeps making it, and then it keeps getting eroded. It's getting eroded by these things that are attacking the matrix. So those erosions are allowing it to fill the blood. So the tumor is supplying the blood with sulfate. So you can see all of these diseases, you can frame them all that way, that the purpose is to provide the blood with sulfate, because without the sulfate, the blood will be dead, and then we'll all be dead. So that's the way I see all diseases. All these modern diseases that are going up, due to the sulfate deficiency, which again is due to the glyphosate, and that's for many reasons, which I've gotten into in my papers. It's not, it's complex science a little bit, but you have all these sulfate carriers, one of which is all these products of the shikimate pathway. So because the shikimate pathway is disrupted, you are much less able to transport sulfate across through all the tissues, because glyphosate has messed up the production of the molecule that can do that. And the same thing with cholesterol. Glyphosate's messed up the sulfate synthesis, because that's a cytochrome P450 enzyme. Glyphosate also messes up sulfate activation, because it's been shown that it suppresses other enzymes that are connected there, and it prevents vitamin D activation, and vitamin D protects from sulfate wasting through the kidney. So there's like all these different ways in which glyphosate messes up sulfate. So I think that's actually the key problem. The sulfate, and of course the manganese, both of those. And they might even be connected because I think the sulfate and the manganese bind together. And then that's a way to distribute the manganese over the body. So when you don't have enough sulfate, you can't distribute the manganese. So it's all connected. It's really interesting. It's fascinating science.
Absolutely fascinating. And for those of you who are practitioners, we are going to be... Okay, let me close somebody's mic again. We're going to be using some of the numbers from cholesterol sulfate, the same as carbon, for those of you who have your Genesis Pro. You can just go in and click, and we've already figured it out. So we'll be giving you some of those frequencies. You'll be watching them. We're going to take the next step now. And let's see, Dan did not get a microphone, so we can't use that. Okay, I don't understand what you wrote. The solution to remove the toolboxes, who can't even... Oh, I don't want to read that on air. I don't think that message is for everybody. Okay. Dan is getting a microphone, so I'll explain what we're doing. We're going to start with Audacity. Now, all of this is in our booklet. Audacity looks something like this. It's just a recording tool, software, that we can hit a little red button. Okay, Richard, I see you. Okay, Dan still doesn't have a microphone. Yes, glyphosate that she was talking about is the GMO that Richard was talking about, that they spray it with Roundup, and that's the glyphosate. There is a lectin around these seeds, and when they're going to harvest this, they spray this Roundup so all the green and foliage dies away, so it's much easier to pick the grain. But they've just sprayed the grain with glyphosate, a poison, a toxin that many countries are outlawing. Okay, Dan, I just can't wait. Well, I see a Dan with a microphone. I'm going to unmute your mic. Dan, is this the same Dan that wanted to volunteer? So you're on here twice? Hello? Your mic is unmuted, but I still can't hear you. Okay, I can't have a lot of dead air time, so I am going to mute your mic again. And I'm going to ask Richard, because he's having some problems with his knees, if he would open his mic and give us 30 seconds of a vocal print. It seems that this is a problem with a lot of people. We've had a lot of volunteers here that want to be on. Richard asked first. Okay. Richard, you want to talk about your knees and we'll look at the inflammation?
Sure. Happy to.
Go to it.
So I'm, even though I, whoops, that's
wait,
not me making all that noise.
What is that?
That's Vasu.
Oh, that
V-A-S-U. Yep.
Okay.
Vasu's mic is open.
Okay, got it. I've closed it. Okay, go ahead.
So I stand all day at a workstation because I like standing. My volume looks awfully low. Is that low on your side as well?
It looks terrible. Like my mic is
not
even on. Okay, so
do you have to change your pathing?
You guys, yeah, I'm going to stop this. Pushing the gold button stops it. Let me find Samson mic. Volume. Do I go up to edit and preferences? And all this is in the book. So you can go look at preferences for your device. Best devices. Microphone, go mic, mono. I don't understand why that is not. Oh, yes, I do, because I turned everything down when all that clomping was going on. So let me turn my computer mic back up. Okay, go.
So I stand all day long at a, nope, still not very much, still very low volume. I wonder why.
Tell me how to fix it.
I don't know. I don't think it's about Audacity. I have a feeling it's something in your computer setup, but I don't
know why. Remember sometimes it goes in and mutes the mic?
Yes.
Maybe turn it up here. Oh, that's playback.
That's playback.
Do you remember where you go in and unmute the mic? I just don't remember where you do that, but it's happened several times, and I just can't remember at the moment.
It all looks good from what I'm seeing. I'm not an Audacity expert, but I use it quite a bit.
Do you see where recording, overdub, that's okay. All that's good?
Yep.
Should be under devices, playback, recording, Samson. It's all good.
Yeah, it all looks right to me.
Anybody
like the
on...
The volume is turned down. Yeah, no, but isn't, though, because it's... Are you dragging... How is that volume going up and down on your master volume? Is that you adjusting, tapping the key on the back of your keyboard?
No, that's just you talking. Maybe I fixed something. We could try again.
Sure. All right, so I stand all day long in front of a workstation because I prefer to stand... I don't see anything recording now at all. I prefer to stand all day long. Yep, there we go. Now it's a little too hot. I'll back away from the mic. I prefer to stand because it just feels better, and it's an old habit from chefing for so many years. Standing is just better for me. And even though I am standing, my knees haven't bothered me until recently, and they get stiff and achy. And it's not from the standing, it's just they're getting stiff and achy, and I'm not sure if it's an environmental toxin or something I'm eating, but there's definitely been an inflammation. I could blame it on Trump. I'd be happy to hand it off to the Donald. He can have it back. Is that enough for you, to keep going? I think that looks like enough.
Well, I was letting it go just a little bit because I wanted to chop out that beginning. So I'm just
okay.
Rolling over this with my left mouse. For people who are just listening, we're using Audacity. We've got this blue squiggles up and down as Richard spoke, and some of it in the beginning was too high, so we're just going to chop that out. And all these instructions are in the Bioacoustic Basics textbook. And we got 33 seconds, and that's good. I'm not going to save it. That's a problem a lot of you have. I'm going to export. And we're going to export it as Richard's knee.
Or knee. There we are.
And we're saving it in a WAVES file. That textbook also tells you how to set up your computer. And there are tutorials. If you download the NanoVoice, under downloads, there are tutorials there. Now, we can play any part of this, roll over it and hit this little green arrow.
An old habit from surfing for so many years.
So that's Richard. We saved it as Richard's knee. We're going to open something called Abacus, and this is absolutely free for you also. It is on our website, and people think you must be crazy to give all of this away. But I think it's important that we put health back into
the hands of
people. Methylation again.
Methylation as a lifestyle. Why am I so low? I'm actually in the normal range. That's the most normal range I've had in a while.
this gray grid for all of you, and it's in the tutorials. This is normal range, and he's above everything. So he's not using incoming resources. And that can be from inflammation. You can inflame the pancreas with GAD. You can inflame the liver from toxins. So that's what we're going to look at in this computer program. We're going to put in some demographics so we can pull this out again. Richard, let's just say Richard needs on air. And we don't need his birthday, although at some point you can look back at this and see, well, what is, Laura, I'm going to mute your mic because a lot of static and interference there. Okay. Sometimes the frequencies coming to the earth are knee frequencies, so it might flare up then. So gender is male, and knee inflammation. Now, the easiest thing here is to go up to this little red dot and push, and it will grab all of the frequencies that it thinks are important. Now, this is absolutely a chart of too much. We also ought to run you through methylation, but this show is about inflammation. So I'm going to hit this little Rubik's Cube. If you save this, all you're saving is the picture. If you hit the little Rubik's Cube, you're saving this two sets of numbers here. So I'm going to put this in my GNS file. And it, again, this is another file that the instruction booklet teaches you to set up. The next step, we can put it into anything now. And we can go to our GNS file. And there's Richard Nee on air. And one of the things I always look at first, because we have all of these things, activator, amino acids, chemicals that we can look at. I uncheck everything and look at protein and genome. And this gives me a good indication of where to go. If there is something that is a genome and a protein at the same time, let me check my variants. It's at 3. Let me use 4 or even 5 because this was done on the air, so it's not as accurate as it should be. Okay, so we can look at proteins. And we can see clearly what is causing Richard's discomfort from a genetic and a protein point of view. Anything that is alike, we want to look at. Chemokine lignin 4 says that's an inflammatory protein. And here's a lignin 9. I don't know how different those are. But you have some inflammatory proteins. Now, if you were a practitioner, there'd be a frequency here. We could give that to you, and that would reverse the symptoms. Now, people think, how can little teeny frequencies do that? We had people in here last week that had a regular heart, and with a frequency, we were able to put the heart back into a rhythm. That should be an incredibly important piece of information to the 2.7 million people in the U.S. who have irregular heartbeats. So we know this is chemokine. We should look it up. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. But what is causing that gene to go high and flare? And when that goes high, the proteins come into play and keep it high. So we need to get rid of the gene. We need to quiet down the gene and quiet down the proteins because that's the indicator, in his case, the bottom line indicator. But let's go back and look at some of the other things. What could he do nutritionally? Oh, looks like a lot of things. I'll open that one first. These came open over here on another monitor that I don't have open to the public, so I'll move them all over, and then we'll look at them. Boy, this is a lot. When you go to our site, thesoundhealthoptions.com, and you go to downloads, there's something there called a pastel folder. And when you open the pastel folder, it gives you directions on how to read each one of these. So in this case, this is called a note correlate chart. And we can see what frequencies or what notes in Richard's voice is the most urgent. Anything that is a 4 or more is urgent. F sharp and C, that's kidney and heart together, Richard. Well, and we got G here, too, using minerals. We have 3 4s. I'm surprised you aren't in more pain than you are. So the note of G, and you can download this. I should show people where that is. Going to Sound Health Options, go to Downloads. Go to Nano Voice. Here's the chart we're talking about you can download. Here's the tutorial. This is a nice chart about complements and how we use sound to modify frequencies. There's a video about what's going on, and go to the downloads where it says radiation software, and we think that's so important, we leave that up 24/7. One of Parkinson's patients we had last week, she was diagnosed with Parkinson's, but she actually had radiation poisoning. So here's the textbook, and here's the pastel folder I was talking about. And when you click that, it's got 4 pieces of paper in it that you can give to your clients. And in this case, we'd have to look at G and F sharp. So the process of the kidney and how it's dealing with minerals and how that in turn is affecting large muscles and the heart, and that's what we need to look at with Richard. Carnosine may reduce inflammation, and that's high. Do we leave it high? Maybe. You know what carnosine is, Richard?
I know the name, but right now I can't think of it.
Me neither. I don't know what it does. Anybody in the chat? It's high, so that might mean a good indicator, but sometimes not. It may be high in your case because most of your stuff is high because it's not being used and it's just being accumulated. And you can't really do anything with that with conventional medicine. But we know how to go in and find the frequency and find the antidote frequency, much like listening to a noise-canceling headset. We can find the opposite. Beta-sisterol, I don't know what that is either. And capsaicin, isn't that what's in hot pepper?
Cayenne, yeah.
Cayenne? So those two are high, but we look at what's going on with you, Richard, and things are just too high everywhere. So, well, here's one, trypsin that's low, may reduce inflammation from sports injury, too low, but pancreatin, that's high too. We need to find something that will bring your chemistry into balance. It just seems there's too much going on. Cortisol high, pregnenolone high. When pregnenolone gets really high, too high, you get very amorous. And if that's not the case, Richard, it just means that pregnenolone is not working or may not have its sister components. We need to run you through methylation. There's aspirin high, those are meds. But you can look at these and they can give you some good indicators. Like zinc, too high. Unless you're taking it, it's probably zinc is just accumulating. You taking zinc?
Yeah, I took some earlier today because of I'm getting a lot of smoke up here. So I did take extra immune support.
Well, can you see how it says exactly the same use? So it's too high in 2 different places? So we should look at that. you can go in and inside this past health folder is this green sheet, and this gives you the sister components. If that mineral of zinc is too high, it means that you may not have, that you took it, but you may not have adequate copper, calcium, phosphorus, selenium, vitamin A, B6, and E to bind with the zinc to make it useful. So if you want to look at this again tomorrow after you haven't taken the extra zinc, because that's double high. And usually if it's tremendously high, you sometimes get a metallic taste in your mouth. But an easy way to test that is to give you the frequencies of zinc. And if your body likes it, it's just not being useful. And if your body doesn't like it, you are really overdosed. So vitamin D is high. Rutin is high. I think rutin is water-soluble. So, again, that's just, it's not being utilized. Caffeic acid, high. High. Richard, off air, we got to run you through methylation because we're running out of time. All of these herbs are high, too. We need to balance. That's one of the beautiful things about bioacoustics. We can give you formulas that will help balance something that is high. We don't have to go in and give you an antidote to it. I think this is water-soluble, too, and it's too high. So your body is lacking something. If you guys want to stay on air, I will open mapping and run through it really quick so we can, if I could spell mapping. I know we're going over. But when things are so high like that, and methylation mapping people can get through our Guardian program, but we have a worksheet here that we want to look at and find out why Richard is not utilizing things. This is energy. This is detox. This is create cellular energy. This is replete your DNA, and 4 and 5 is how to use your resources. And I would bet you Richard has some problem in here because things are coming in, but he's just not using them. So once you get the information on anybody's chart, you can go in and say, well, I want to run them through another chart. And we've got a portal coming up that will be open. It's open, really open now, but not to the public until we can get some instructions done. But here's the same set of frequencies, only this time it's about methylation, not about inflammation. So we know there's inflammation. We know it's chemokines. But let's look and see where that's coming from the methylation. Wow, inability to process sulfur. That's kind of clear. This ACHY. Ah, and there's frequencies. I shouldn't do that. I've opened the wrong one. That was really bad of me. I'll have to go back and chop that out. Let me open the methylation one that is for the public without frequencies. The frequencies you get when you take our professional courses, because you have to learn how to use them. And remember, too, that we have a 2-day course coming up at the end of this week that's absolutely free with the software and tutorials and everything. It's about PTSD. Still didn't spell knee right. So if any of you are interested in coming to that freebie class to help your community, or if you have PTSD or someone in your family has PTSD, there are special privileges that you get. So we're looking at the proteins. In the genome to see where his methylation has a kink MAOA is a genome, and MOA is a protein. I don't know what that does. It doesn't give us any explanation, but there is where your kink is. We've got glucose-6-phosphate, a blood sugar issue, and that's high. We need to watch that. ACHY here 4 times. That usually is indicative of somebody that's throwing sulfur and not using it. Let's look at just minerals. Maybe even cell salts. Oh, we don't have any cell salts here. Do you take any kind of sulfur?
I took a high dose of NAC this morning.
Is that sulfur-based?
It does have sulfur in it. I think that was part of what Steve Huber said on Sunday, was that he thought it was a good source for some of that as well. Zinc, zinc, zinc.
But they're all different uses.
Yeah.
Well, no, they aren't. These are exactly the same. Is actually 2, so your zinc being high, but I don't see that that's interfering with sulfur. Amino acids. If you don't have the correct sulfur, there'll be a ton of amino acids come up because it's a cofactor. And you don't have a lot. I would expect more under this. Tyrosine and homocysteine. And they have 2 different uses, so they really came up once with 2 uses. But that 5-methylfolate pathway is in here. I haven't solved this, and we don't have time yet. We don't have enough time at the moment to solve it. Enzymes, you had G missing. We looked at minerals. Look at variants. Look at minerals with a different variant. It just came up with more zinc. So no enzymes came up. No hormones came up. There is something, though, in your system. That's not a. Can you look up this MAO stuff? I know where it is in the. On the link. If I could find that again. Methylation workshop. It's here. Wow, that was a rattled mic. Who is that? Was that you, Richard?
Nope.
I don't see anybody else.
Somebody else is somebody, Linda in chat is saying that MAO is an enzyme that in humans is encoded by the MAO gene. Whoops, and then things jumped. Gene. This gene is one of the 2 neighboring gene family members that encode mitochondrial enzymes, which catalyze the oxidative deamination of amines, such as dopamine, norepinephrine, and serotonin.
Oh, we've just ran out of time, but we know proteins and genes both are kinked right here. So we'd have to see what's below that. But the fact that we look at your voice print and it's all above normal certainly tells us there is something in methylation. We can also go look at GAD. Well, I do have it on this computer. This is a tiny one, but we'll see if we have GAD 67 or GAD 65 here. That could be part of the process or part of the problem. But what we do is go through several computer programs until we really find what's going on. There is a template that we can put in. And that's going to be on the portal, too, so that you can go ahead and, yep, there it is, GAD 67. I just saw it go by. GAD is glutathione anhydrinase. Look at this. I hope I'm not putting numbers up here again. And when you don't have this glutathione anhydrinase 67, it interferes with the function of your liver. If it's 65, wait, 65 is liver, 67 is pancreas. But it's showing here that you definitely have some issues with utilizing GMOs, seeds, nuts, see, this one is gluten allergy celiac disease. Richard, we're going to have to run you through liver. That's the next step here. And we are 10 minutes over. I apologize for that. I am sorry. I should have hurried. Some people love it when we go over because there's so much information. Some other people are just really ticked with the whole thing. Richard, we know
well,
your problem.
Well, that was an adventure. Yeah. Yeah.
We know your problem, and we know that this GAD is responsible for inflammation of the liver in your case. So
yeah.
With inflammation, boy, that attacks the liver, that attacks digestion and hormones and everything else.
Yeah. Be kind to your liver.
Yes. It sort of runs everything else.
Yep.
Thank you for being here. We will continue with this idea of inflammation in our society. We'll figure out Richard's case and maybe report back to you next time what we found, because I hate to leave something unsolved.
Oh, I like a little mystery. It's like a cliffhanger.
Okay. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks,
check
everybody.
Out,
that was an adventure.
Jill?
Wow. And now, when is this one of the classes coming up that you were just talking about? Is that this week?
Thursday and Friday. And
okay.
If people don't want to come to class, and there's an easy way to do this, they can come to class and learn all about it, or they can go to the PTSD project, and we're going to be doing 3 months of projects, one on Alzheimer's, one on fibromyalgia. But just PTSD project on our site, and when you go down to the bottom, there's all the links for class enrollment, for the software, for the textbook, instructional video. You can do this totally on your own. You don't have to come to class, and there's enough here, except your microphone, for you to start a business and help the PTSD sufferers in your community, and we will help you set that up. So we hope that you'll all join us for that, at least for the idea of the project. And I haven't the slightest idea what we're doing on Sunday, but something good. Oh, that's wonderful. People are saying they're going to take the class. And somebody, Linda says, create an anti-GMO rollover. Very cool. Okay. We'll keep
that's
working
good.
On Richard's chart. But Richard, let's hang up on Blog
yep.
Talk Radio, and we'll go looking at your liver and see what's going on, if you have time.
Yep, I have time. Okay, everybody, I'm hanging up over at Blog Talk Radio. That was a great show. We'll see you on Sunday with something fascinating. I just don't know what the
yes.
name at the moment. All right, everybody. Bye-bye.